I have chains in my hand. If you've ever known anything about bondage, you know that chains hold you back from everything that you know you could do and should do. I was riding up here this morning, and this is the phrase that came to me. I will make a declaration of my freedom. I will live my freedom, and I will give my freedom away. Amen? So this morning, Resurrection Life Church, if you've been set free, I want you to sing this with me this morning. I am free. Amen? Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Come on, I want to hear you. Are you ready? If you are, you're going to sing it out with me. Here we go. One, two, three, four.
your home. Now our sin and shame are gone. Only by your blood. Only by your blood.
What the Lord's going to do. Some of you need to be reminded this morning. It was not based on your circumstance. It was not based on your self-worth or your value. It was based on His. And it's so much better because you got to learn to stop striving. You got to learn to stop fighting for something you've already obtained. Righteousness was never in your grasp, so He made a way. Just find peace as you sing this song. Everybody in the room, just close your eyes. And I don't care what your morning looked like. I don't care what your week looked like. If you'd raise your hands with me right now to a God who's worth it, not because I asked you to, just simply because He was that worthy. Cease your striving right now. Take a deep breath and release every fear, every anxiety. Release your future. Release your finances and just give them to God, the God of miracles. Guys, there's peace there. Sing it out. Yeah. And God of miracles, come. Come now, we need Your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. Yes, You are. Guys, this is how battles are won. Right here. This is how we fight our battles. Yeah. Miracles come. We need Your supernatural love to break through. And nothing's impossible. Come on, church. You're the... There it is. Lead worship this morning. Every voice. Oh, yes, You are. No. One more time. And God.
Through it all, through it all. with me.
Come on. That is awesome stuff. I want you to just take a second before we just move on. I want us to take a second and just like focus our mind. I just felt like, man, we need to be more impressed with who God is than whatever you're walking through. We need to be more, way more wowed by who our God is than whatever situation you find yourself in. More impressed with Jesus than any question you may have. More impressed with the Prince of Peace than any anxiety that's throwing you off. Less wowed by the storms than we are by the one who walks on the water. One of the things David wrote is that I will say of the Lord, He is my strength. He didn't just write it down, didn't just think it in my head. He said, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say He is my strength. He is my refuge, my shield, my deliverer. So let's do that right now. Right wherever you are, just close your eyes. Close your eyes and say, God, you are Lord. You are good. You are great. There's nobody like you. Say it to where you can hear it. He's still the God of miracles. Half the people in here wouldn't be here if He wasn't the God of miracles. Lord God, you are good. You are good, and we want to fix our eyes on you so that it can be well with our soul. Our soul will be able to be at peace because we recognize who our God is. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Lord, thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that our confidence can be in you. The God who created the universe, yet who knows my name. You are awesome, Lord. And I pray that your supernatural love will well up in our hearts and direct our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Man, it's awesome to be able to come and celebrate up in church. Y'all with that? Good morning, Resurrection Life. How we doing? I said, how we doing this morning? Y'all doing all right? Woo! The AC's working, so it's a great day to be alive, baby. It is a great day to be alive. If this is your first time here at Resurrection Life, man, we wanna take a minute to honor you. Thank you for being here. I was told to refrain from rap songs this morning, so we will refrain. They told me if I did rap, I had to mention somebody named Kiki, so I don't know what that's about, but I didn't have anything with that. But if you are a first-time visitor, you are very welcome, whether your name is Kiki or something else. All we ask you to do is go out the double doors in the back, turn to the left, and we've got a gift for you, a little card we'd like for you to fill out. That way we can have record of your visit. Come on, let's give it up for all of our first-time visitors. Ladies and gentlemen, the RLM Minute.
That in other countries around our world that's hostile towards Christianity, if you just say that, hey, you are a Jesus follower, they don't really do too much to you. But if you say you've been baptized, or are you going to be baptized, they look at it completely different. Why? Because you're making a declaration of the transformation that God's done in your life. And if you want to declare God's transformation that He's done in your life, through water baptism. We're doing that on the 29th of this month. That's the last Sunday of this month. If you would like to be baptized, simply call the church office and speak with one of our staff pastors.
Life groups are getting ready to kick off this August, so be on the lookout for the launch dates coming August 5th. And if you're a life group leader, we need you to turn in your life group form so we can get your life group in the directory. Turn that in by accessing the form at rlministry.org. Click on groups. And all you life group leaders, we need you to attend the life group leader kickoff meeting on Tuesday, July the 31st. At 7 p.m. Everybody needs to be there that Tuesday because we're rallying the troops, baby.
I'm so excited. I'm so fired up. This is going to be awesome. Kingdom Women's Night this Friday night. All right, Tiffany, give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
What's up, Amy? Jacob does it.
I know. Jacob does it. I'm so excited, and I hope all of you come, all teenagers and college-age kids. I want you to come because it is going to be epic. We're going to have free food. We're going to hang out. And most importantly, we're going to be inspired to go to new places with God. And if you know anybody who needs inspiration, if you know anybody who struggles with identity issues and they need freedom, bring them. I want to challenge every high school student and every college student to bring somebody, because if you do, the person who brings the most wins prizes. And don't forget to RSVP.
That's right, Mom. Bring your friends, too, because there's a place for you to serve. This is our way of letting our younger daughters and sisters know that we believe in them. We believe in the next generation. We are going to decorate this place out. It's going to be awesome. We're going to cook food for them. We're going to serve them food. There's lots of ways for you to volunteer and help serve them. So if you'd like to be a part of this awesome night, sign up in the back of the sanctuary by the double doors. And remember, RSVP.
Hey guys, new family members reception out in the foyer next week.
That's right, it's the 29th of this month, 7 p.m. All we're asking you to do is, if you feel like God is calling you to make Resurrection Life your home church, just be here.
Hey, guys.
We're in the middle of it.
Hey. You're killing me, so you need one of these. And
really?
A chance. You are really killing me.
Really? I can't. Hey, Brent.
Oh, wow.
Is it really?
Yeah. That's really cool.
Hey, guys. This Saturday at Twice as Nice, it is a back-to-school sale.
Oh, wait. Like, back-to-school? Wait, you don't have to worry about that no more. You see, junior high, high school, no. You're big boy back-to-school. Like that shirt, big boy.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I like that shirt.
Hey,
I like it.
I don't buy it.
Where'd you get it?
That don't look good. I got this from Twice as Nice, actually.
Really?
Twice as Nice. Also, this Saturday, all clothing is $1.
Wow.
Plus, that's not it. That's not it, folks. You get a free basic haircut. That's right.
Whoa. What do we mean basic haircut? Like my hair basic, or like Todd Goodwin's hair? Like tweezers.
I don't even know if you would consider his hair basic. That's just no hair.
Do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's big. I mean, it's just letting you into how God operates. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. That's funny what we just sang. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother judges his brother. Speak evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another? Come now, You who say, today, tomorrow, we will go such and such and city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you will reveal yourself to us. God, I pray you'll teach us. God, I pray that that you will just speak clearly to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about the proper position, okay? The proper position, where you need to position yourself, all right? I want to talk to you the difference between pride and humility. Now, the world, our whole world is flipped upside down. I mean, they're praising what's wrong and cutting down what's good. And, you know, it's all just mixed up. And we have defined humility wrong, and we have defined pride wrong. And I want you to understand what we just read, okay? There are verses in the Bible that we don't understand, and this is one we need to understand. Look what it says. It says, God resists the proud. Now, I can go into all kinds of Hebrew and Greek, and I've spent a week or so studying all these words, but let me just break it down for you so that you understand. Let me make it simple for you. God, if you're proud, God is on the other team. To all of us athletes, I mean, what play are you going to call to trick God? And then he says, but he gives grace to the humble. Now what grace is his favor. We know the definition, his unmerited favor, but it's also his operational power in your life. All right? Let me make sure you understand. In other places in Scripture, when it says God gives you grace, he's talking about his operational power in your life. He gives you the ability to handle whatever he's called you to walk through. That's his grace. Like nobody should have 7 boys, 9 and under. That should not be allowed by law. But that's what God called Amy to walk through. And what she prayed every morning was, she would say, Lord, I can't do this, but I know your grace is sufficient. God gave her grace to handle it. You see that? Now, this is huge, guys. I'm going to just throw some thoughts out. I think this is the reason a lot of us, our prayers aren't getting answered. Because we're praying out of pride. And you say, first of all, I know all you super charismatic, hyper, super fragilicious, expialidocious people. I mean, you say, well, look, I am a blood-bought child of the Most High God, man. I'm righteous, and I agree with all that. But let me tell you something. When you get off, Daddy is going to correct you. And if your God don't correct you, you might not have a God. So we got to understand, and here is a command. This is something, listen to me now, this is the difference between these. This is a command. The Holy Spirit is not going to do this for you. You've got to do it for yourself. The Holy Spirit makes us righteous. The Holy Spirit gives us access. The Holy Spirit does everything. But you've got to humble yourself, just like it takes humility to get saved. See, some of you are not saved in here because you will not admit, I need God. And so in your pride, you have no grace. Does that make sense? This is huge. We've got to understand, God just said, I like to bless humility. And I'm going to get on the other team if you're in pride. We better know what those are. We better figure out what's God saying there. What is he talking about? All right, so let's define pride and humility. Let's define it. Humility literally means, if you break down the Greek words, it means lowliness of mind or thinking. Now, what that means is, we have defined humility as somebody, you know, for all you old folks, the hee-haw definition, doom, despair, and agony on me. You know, I'm nothing, I can't do nothing, the low thing, oh, I'm no good, all that. We think that's humility, and that is totally wrong. Let me tell you something, Jesus was a bad man. He was bad, but he was totally humble. Let me tell you what humility is. Let me give you some, I compiled a bunch of theological writings to try to help you and brought them down into sentences to help you grasp what true humility is. It accepts your position in Christ, but realizes that you did nothing to deserve it or earn it. I'm blood bought. I'm accepted in the blood. He's my dad. Man, I know all, but I know I did nothing to deserve it or earn it. True humility. What does it do? It thinks thoughts not too high about itself. Romans 12:3. Look what it says. Romans 12:3 says this. I got Romans 12:3. Y'all got Romans 12:13. But it's Romans 12:3. It didn't say that, did it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Think thoughts not too high about himself. He takes care of others. He's not thinking too high. See, some of you think you're too good to do certain things. Brother, I ain't come here to get beat up this morning. Well, God's been beating the snot out of me, so I thought I'd share it with you. It's hard to get cocky about yourself when you're looking at Jesus. See, some of you continually compare yourself to other people. Well, honey, other people ain't the judging stick. It's Jesus. Some of you are in pride and you don't sense the presence of God because you think you're better than somebody else. When in us, every one of you, you have in your flesh the ability to commit every sin that's ever been committed. Every heinous thing, you got it in your flesh. If you just let yourself go to that, you could wind up committing everything. But we don't think thoughts. How about this? No problem is given. We have no problem giving honor to others. We can rejoice with others. If you're in humility, Romans 12:10 says, be kind and affectionate to one another, brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. See, if you're in pride, you can't do that. It's hard to do that. Humble people can do that. They don't mind other people getting praise. How many of you have bought something because somebody else has it? Don't tell me. Humility enjoys the privileges, but never forgets where he came from. True humble people enjoy the privileges. They don't mind enjoying daddy's privileges. They don't mind being blessed. Look, I expect to be blessed. I expect to be favored. My kids get mad at me because I get a front row parking and all that stuff. I mean, they got mad at me the other night. A lady that I helped is now working in Popeyes. I just ordered some chicken. She came out by herself and said, "Brother, I threw some extra stuff in there just for you. I know you like all that." And my kids say, "How did that keep happening?" I mean, I expect it because I'm daddy's little boy. But let me tell you something. I don't ever take it for granted. You see what I'm saying? Last one is a mark. I could go on, but it's a mark of a disciple. Matthew 18:3-4 says, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom. And therefore, whoever humbles himself is like a little child and is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." I'm humbling myself. It is a mark of being a disciple. Pride, let's just stop there. Let me jump over and kind of get you a good contrast. We're going to dig a little deeper. Pride, by definition in the Greek, it means arrogance, contempt, presumption. Whoo, that one's big. You are in control. You're the master of your destiny. It is a sign of having an affair with worldliness. Proverbs 11:2 says it brings shame. It says when pride comes, then comes shame. How many people have we watched? How many people, like, you know, I was watching Tiger Woods. Most recognized athlete on, but buddy, his pride, he came down, didn't he? The shame. Look at the next one. Pride ushers in destruction. Proverbs 18:2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but is expressing his own heart. It is a sign of the world. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we need to understand what pride. Let me go a little deeper because I want you to get a grasp of this before you walk out of here. I want you to be able to self-analyze what your thought process is. Look at this. Go ahead and put the whole first sheet up there. Let's walk through these together. Humility is depending on God. Pride is depending on yourself. Well, God helps those who help themselves. You show me in the scripture where it says that. It ain't there. That's just some nice little tidbit you read in a fortune cookie. Lowliness of thinking. I can't do this without you, Lord. God, I can't handle this without you. I can't handle this pain without you. I can't handle this situation without you. I got this. I'll fix this. I can handle this. One time, I know y'all don't believe this, one time somebody was talking bad about, spreading lies about me and Amy. This is about 15, 20 years ago. And when they brought Amy into it, it really got me upset. I know y'all don't believe this, but I lost my temper. I know y'all don't believe it. You start messing with my wife, I kind of lose my brain. And so I looked at Amy. The last thing I said about it was this. I said, "I am going to handle this. I'm putting a stop to this." Got in my car, driving. The Holy Spirit sat down on my chest, dropped an atomic bomb, and then just left. Holy Spirit just whispered in my ear, if you go and defend yourself, you better do a good job, because that's all the defense you're going to get. I got this, brother. I can handle this. Your business dealings, your life, your raising kids. I can handle this. Man, if children haven't brought you to your knees, you are arrogant and prideful. Look at the next one. I have no right. Man, every time I come into the presence, I sense the presence of God. First thing thought comes to me, man, I have no right to be here, but I'm so thankful I am. Proud people, they, I'm not as bad as. You're always comparing yourself to other people. Well, you know, I ain't as bad as that guy. Well, who cares? God don't care. That guy ain't the thing. We always try to make ourselves feel better. Well, I'm not as bad as him. Well, at least I ain't never done that. When you have committed one sin, you have committed them all. It's kind of quiet in here. God's love accepts me. Nobody loves me. When you say that, you are a total arrogant person. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. You're calling God a liar. Humble people realize God accepts them. They realize, man, because why? Because God said He did. He proved it. Humble people love to boast on God. Prideful people love to boast about themselves. They don't like praise and worship, but they like to talk about what they're doing. I hate to even say that. I felt the hurt. They don't like praise and worship. They don't like to come in and listen to the sermon. We don't like praise and worship but they'll talk to you all day about what they like. Fishing and hunting and golfing and I'm just saying. I'm throwing this out for your consideration. Delights in the Word of God. A prideful person, the Word of God is one of his options. Well, I'm going to put what God says up on the shelf. I'm going to put what I think, all these other opinions, what my mama said, and maybe my best friend who's been through 7 divorces, I'm going to let him advise me on my marriage and all this. And I'm going to put all them together. I'm going to make the best choice possible. Prideful person is one of his options. We'll come back to that in a minute. Humble person, my sin hurts him. Prideful person always justifies their sin. There's always a reason for it. Well, I know what I did was wrong. I know it says in the Bible that it's wrong, but you have just immersed yourself in pride. Let me just say this to you. I don't sin. I've never cheated on Amy. And I'm not saying that in pride. That's just a fact. I've never cheated. Well, let me tell you what's held me. It ain't because the Bible says it's wrong and it's sin. It's because I love God and love her, and I don't want to hurt either one of them. Because I know it'll hurt both of them. See, when you start thinking relationally instead of rules, it's more powerful. Pride rejoices. I mean, humility rejoices with others. We can celebrate others. Pride is always jealous. Oh, my girl. Females fascinate me. I in no way try to attempt to understand them. They just fascinate me. I walk by girls and they'll say, I mean, they'll be talking about another girl walking by and go, God, look how good she looks. I hate her. It's like, what are we doing here? I have no idea. But what I have never, me and Guy and Wayne have never been standing there talking and somebody walks by and goes, man, look how good he looks. I hate him. Yeah, I mean, and he's ain't right. Look what he says. Look at the next one. I mean, first of all, I can't fix it. Man, why are we so jealous when other people are blessed? We have had people in this very room. They're no longer part of our church because they came to the prophetic conference. I fasted and prayed and I didn't get a word, and he gave a word to my husband. I'm leaving the church. Well, that's why God ain't answering your prayers, because all your prayers are out of your prideful heart. Because God resists the proud. Look at the next one. Worships God, doesn't mind. It's all focused about me. Hey, that praise and worship there is too long. It's too loud. What y'all doing with all that? Jabbing around. Well, for all you prideful people, the Bible says to clap your hands, to dance, to shout, to play instruments, to blow the horn, do the tambourine, play string instruments. Sing, dance, all that stuff. And you go, well, you know, brother, I didn't grow up like that. And neither did I. I didn't grow up like that. But I didn't grow up like that. We were reverent. No, you were just boring. And I'm sorry. I am so sorry that God wrote the Bible before there were denominations. Surely he would change the Bible. See, pride values, the reason I went on that little rant there, because pride values your opinion better than God's opinion. Humility always bows to God's opinion. Does that make sense? Humble people never have trouble being thankful. Prideful people never have enough. They always want more. Now, I could go on, and I have a bunch more scripture, but for time's sake, I'm going to stop there. And how do we, because the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. How many of you would like to walk a humble life? Amen, me. Because I want God's favor. I don't want God on it. Because when God resists you, baby, he don't play fair. I mean, he'll stab you in your soft underbelly. He'll get you. He'll get your attention. Now, how do we humble ourselves? Number one, please write these down. Please teach them to your children. Please get it. I mean, I'm trying to compile thick theological books and give you just so that you can understand what this thing is. Number one, you've got to put God in his proper place. That is first. He's got to be first. We don't have any fear of the Lord anymore. Proverbs 15:33. You want to be wise? You want to be humble? All that stuff? Proverbs 15:33. Look what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning. And honor, and before honor is humility. One of the biggest problems we have is we don't fear God anymore. We just have no... I'm not talking about fearing God like you're scared of what's under your bed. I'm talking about a reverence and an honor that when he walks in the room, there is honor in your heart, a reverence. We don't have any fear. You know why we don't fear? Because we have created a God in our own mind that we can understand, we can control, we can figure out, we can answer. We get all the answers. Let me tell you something. God will not be put in a box. He is bigger than we'll ever be able to figure out. He will do things that blow your mind. You'll never be able to explain. That's the God of the Bible. And he is to be reverenced and respected and honored. And we don't have that anymore. Well, I don't care what God thinks. We're Americans. We're rich and educated and know better. That religion stuff is for women and young children. You ever heard that one? I've had that said to me. That's good for old women and young children, Brother Allen. I don't need it. There needs to be, you need to understand that it is not, you cannot create God. You have created God. If you have no reverence and fear of him, it's because you have created a God in your own mind. And that means you, whatever you can do, you can justify. I've got to put God in his place. He deserves to be worshipped. He in Revelation 4:8 said, "Praise the God who was and is and evermore shall be. He is worthy of all my praise. He is my only option. He's not an option. He is the option. It is his opinion is better than my opinion. His opinion is better than my opinion. Even when my flesh tells me, like forgiveness. Anybody in here like to forgive when somebody hurts you? You like to? When somebody hurts my feelings, my brain, all my flesh cries out, "Cut their face off!" But all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, "I say you got to forgive them." So if I've got fear of the Lord, I'm going to yield to his. Well, I know whenever you say this, I know the Bible says, but you have just dove off into pride. I know the Bible says I should tithe, but I can't afford to. I know the Bible says you got to put God in his proper place. Number two, you got to begin to think thoughts of the kingdom. His word, you need to meditate on his word day and night. You got to let his thoughts change your thoughts. The word of God purifies. The word of God begins to change us. John 3:30 says, "He must increase and I must decrease." John was the big popular one. And he said, "I've got to decrease in every way." So that has got to happen in all of our hearts. I've got to decrease. He's got to increase. His word trumps my opinion. It is impossible to hold on to a humble thought and a prideful thought at the same time. It is a physical impossibility. I have got to allow the Word of God to trump my opinion. Well, they're getting what they deserve. See, some of you, let me just reverse that thing on you. Let me flip it over on you. Some of you, are constantly berating yourself. Man, I'm no good. Nobody loves me. How could God love me? Look what I've done. That's pride. You need to let the Word of God... just throw out an example. The Bible says that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. That's what it says. Point blank. Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Who wrote that book? Moses! Same in John. John never refers to himself as John in his book. He always refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know why they did that? And they still walked in humility? Because they're in the presence of God. And God said, Moses, you're the most humble man on the face of the earth. Moses is the most humble man on the face of the earth. You're the disciple whom I love. That's who I am. That's a humble statement. But some of you like to trump. I'm using a little pun there. You like to trump God's opinion with your own. Well, I know the Word of God says. You know why you discount the Word of God? Everybody look at me. I'm almost finished. You need to hear this. You know why you discount the Word of God? Because you're really not sure that all of it's true. You've listened to the propaganda. Is it the Word of God? I believe it's every bit of it. Do I understand it? Come on. Are you kidding me? I don't understand everything in the Bible. I only understand what He lets me understand. But there are a bunch of no-brainers. That's why He says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, please look at this. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, I'm begging you. See, I don't have to tell people I'm Christian. If we'll just live it right, we'll stick out like a sore thumb. I'm begging you. Look what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I ain't asking you to do nothing unreasonable. As a holy sacrifice. How do I do that? Don't be conformed to this world and its thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at what he's saying. I got to think the thoughts of God. You got to renew your mind. That's why it's important that you meditate on the Scripture. Bible says in Psalms 1, He says, those that meditate and delight in His law and meditate on His Scripture, it says, whatever they do will prosper. Because you'll do it His way. Last one. Honor others. Let me give you a quick Bible lesson, just 30 seconds. The Trinity does. They're modeling honoring others. They model it. And see, our whole world is going selfishness. When God said honor the Trinity, listen, first of all, if you get a preacher who stands up and tells you, I got the Trinity figured out, you need to grab your wife and your wallet and you need to get the heck out of there. Because our brain can't, it's short circuits. I don't understand how there's three and one and all that. I just accept it. Okay. Whatever. Yeah. I'm with you. I believe it. But have you ever noticed that they honor each other? They model it in front of us. God the Father, what does He say? You sit right here, Jesus, and I'm going to make everybody come by and declare you are Lord. What did Jesus do? He kept saying, man, you want me to leave. You think I'm special. You wait for this guy to come behind me. The Holy Spirit, He's awesome. And the Holy Spirit, all He does is draw attention to both of them. People that are humble don't mind giving and rejoicing and giving others praise. People that are humble don't mind fighting for others. They don't mind spending time and effort honoring others. Humble people do that. Well, I know I'm busy, brother. You know I'm busy. I'm a busy man. I got stuff. But if I got a little time, I'll help you help that person. Could it be, let me just ask you, just throw this out, food for thought. Could it be that part of the problems our prayers are not answered is because they're all generated by our prideful heart? All we want is us to be blessed. As long as we're blessed, the life of the world is good. If I ain't blessed, everybody needs to be in a bad mood. You ever been around somebody like that? I mean, I'm not around women very often. So bad hair days are not a big thing because I tell them, look, you complain to me about your hair, I will shave it off. Is what I tell my boys. I'll just cut the whole, I mean, look at Micah. We'll just shave it off. So we don't, but I've been around places where this lady just comes in, and everybody's like, man, she's having a, what, man, give her a wide berth today. She's like, what's wrong? I just couldn't get my hair to do right today. So everybody's on edge. But when they're looking pretty, it's all about each other. And we, listen, if you spend all of your time in prayer, praying for yourself and your needs and all that, let me ask you something. Who's the center of your universe? See, humble people don't mind other people being blessed. Humble people don't mind sacrificing for others. Humility. God, I'd rather you bless them than me. You don't think God the Father is going to honor that? That's why he says, humble yourself. I've got to yield to his word. I read a story about a preacher told this story that he... We're fixing to do something. I've locked the door so you can't leave. Because we're fixing to live out the sermon. Okay? But I want to tell you the story first. This preacher, he was doing a lot of conferences, flying back and forth. And if you fly overseas and come back, you know, your time clock gets off. So he's in a big city, staying in a nice hotel. He's speaker at a conference. Well, at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, he's wide awake. He just came from overseas. So he's hungry. And he walks around the city, which probably ain't good. But he finds this little cafe kind of off to the side. He walks in there and notices there's quite a few people there. And all of a sudden he realizes, he's looking at the people, he orders his food, and he's looking at the people, and he realizes these are all hookers. And there's a couple of guys, you know they're the pimps. And so here's this preacher at 2 o'clock in the morning with about 40 hookers and a couple of pimps eating breakfast. He hears this conversation. See, humble people pay attention to other people more than they do themselves. He hears this table, and he said in his book, he said, and they were loud and obnoxious like you would think a hooker that had just worked a night would be. I haven't hung around many hookers, but I'll just take his word for it. Okay? And so, he hears that one of them And he said in his book, in his description, she's a little bit older than the others. And he says, she talks about her birthday. My birthday's tomorrow. And, what you going to do? You going to celebrate? I said, girl, I ain't had a birthday party since I left home at 12. Now, see, right there, prideful people begin to judge people. Prideful people begin to say how much better they are than them. Prideful people say, man, I'm so tired. Humble people hear God. The Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to throw a birthday party for that lady. I want you to make it big. So this preacher, after she leaves, this preacher, it's a true story, by the way, I ain't making this up. He starts talking to all her friends and said, look, I know y'all don't know me, but I want to throw a birthday party. What's her name? Asked her name. I want to throw a birthday party for her. And they all kind of, but then they all kind of got, he said, I'll buy everything. You just spread the word. And so the next morning, he sacrifices his sleep. He sacrifices his time. He sacrifices his money. Because that's what humble people do. They love to honor people that don't deserve it. Prideful people, well, you know, I'm tired, Brother Allen. I worked all weekend. You know, I'm tired. I would help you, Brother Allen. I want to. It's a good idea next time. So he said, I show up with this big cake, party hats, the little blah things, you know, decorate. He said, I am there, and they must have gathered every hooker in the city. He said, I am there with about 150 hookers and about 10 pimps and me. And we all got little hats on. And she walks in, and they all say surprise. And the girl weeps and cries and said, why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? Why'd you go to all this trouble? Because humble people don't mind going to trouble for others. Prideful people won't pay back. And he looked at her and said, because God wants me to tell you, he loves you. And all of a sudden, he said, the Spirit of God moved in that place. And they started asking us, tell us. And he stood up and he preached the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ, to the 200 hookers and pimps. See, that's the kind of happen. See, God, wouldn't you have loved to have been there? He was graced to be a part of that. God gives grace to the humble. God is doing stuff all the time, and he is gracing us when he lets us get in on it. I don't want to ever stand before God and feel like I've earned something. And I don't want to mind honoring other people. God's going to take care of me. I want to honor you. I want to sacrifice you. I want to spend my time praying for you. I want to spend my time praying. Now, here's what we're going to do. And see, some of you, I can tell you right now, some of you are worried about lunch. You got lunch planned. And you're not going to like this, and you're going to want to run out of here. And you go, well, don't shame me like that, brother. No, you're going to shame yourself. Pride comes before it, produces shame. I ain't doing it. Because you don't like this. See, prideful people They stand on their own. I don't need nobody. Humble people realize, man, I need people. I need somebody to help me. Every once in a while, you know, I need some help sometime. I need somebody to look me in the eye and say, man, it's going to be all right. You're going to make it. So here's what we're going to do. Everybody listening? Some of you need to repent. And I'm going to open up the altar. You need to come and ask God for making excuses for your sin. For doing things you know to be wrong. I'm not trying to point. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to ask you. I'm not judging you. I'm talking about things you know that you said. Well, I know the Bible. I know this is wrong. Some of you are holding unforgiveness. You will go no further until you get rid of that. Whatever it is, some of you need to repent and come before the Lord. All right? And just kneel before the Lord. But the rest of us, you life group leaders, I'm expecting you to lead out the way. You leaders, I want you to honor somebody. You know what honors somebody? Is when you make an effort. When you make an effort to do something for them. Like, well, I'm going to walk across the aisle. Can I pray for you? Or you know somebody's struggling in here. You know that, well, they're worth the effort. Does that make sense? That honors them. And in that atmosphere of honor, God shows up and does miracles. I can't explain it. He just does. Some of you need to go to somebody and say thank you. Some of you need to come before the Lord and say, God, forgive me. I have been living with bitterness too long. I have been living with this too long. Please forgive me. Everybody rise on your feet.